Yes, Prabhu.
A question from an initiated, person.
An uninitiated.
Lady from Russia. Mm-hmm. She says, when I come to Sri Chaitanya Sarasvati Math, Mahamantra goes to the secondary position. Is that okay? Is association and service more important? And the second question she asks, why didn't Srila Prabhupada give initiation to George Harrison? Does it mean that he was devoid of the spiritual progress?
Srila Rupa Goswami is the guide of the Rupanuga line that carries his namesake. It says, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavyed Grajam Indriye Sevan Mukhe Hijavaro Shayam Eva Spuratada. So he's telling us, Jai Srimad Bhakti Ashray Dandi Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, that the name of Krishna, Namadi, Atak Sri Krishna, Namadi, it means Nam, Rupa, Guna, Leela. The name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. Sri Krishna, Namadi, Nabhavyet Grahyam Indriye. Grahyam means like grasps in the sense of comprehend, understand, perceive. Since it's beyond the grasp of the indriyas, the senses of which the mind is sometimes called sixth sense, seat of all sense experience. It's beyond the grasp of the mind, senses, intellect. So when that man challenged Guru Maharaj by saying, if the infinite can be known by the finite, it's not infinite. Actually, he was half right, because the implication, and we could concede, yes, by finite means, you cannot realize the infinite. That's why Guru Maharaj uses Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapo vanalo vayu kamano buddhirevacha ahankara itiyame bina prakritirastada. He's saying these elements, they're all prakriti, material substance, including mano buddhi, mind, buddhir, ahankar. They're all the inferior prakriti, material energy. So it's not told this material through with this material energy, reconfiguring it or reconstituting it, that you can realize the infinite. Guru Maharaj uses this as a refutation of Prakriti Sahajiyasam. This is their flaw. I think by reconditioning these elements, that you can perceive the divine. Right? Because the next verse says, Aparayam itastvanyam prakriti vidhi me pram. There's another prakriti, superior, jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat, that is above these. So Guru Maharaj's point is that which is below atma, jivama, that cannot generate what is divine or spiritual substance. So the notion that you're going to go from down to up, right? You're going to vibrate a particular sound in a particular way, and that's going to go up. Whereas Guru Maharaj is saying it comes down. Vaikuntha Nama Grahana means what is descending from the upper world into this plane. Right? Just as in the beginning, Tene Brahma Hrida was revealed in the heart of Brahma. Right? And many descriptions like that. And what does it say? Sancharja Rama Vida Bhakta Meghe. Gauramritam Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani. Same thing. Empowering, infusing, inspiring, right, to come under the influence of another. So when that man said, if the finite can know the infinite, it's not infinite. Again, he's half right, saying by finite means, it may be way beyond what one finite conceive, what another can conceive, but it still falls short of the infinite. So Guru Maharaj says, the sum total of the finite is never equal to the infinite. But his answer to that man was, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, then he's not infinite. And therein lies the prospect of theistic culture. So Rupa Goswami, we can say the first part is saying, the finite cannot realize the infinite by finite means. Atak Sri Krishna, his nam, Rupa Guna Lila, is beyond the grasp of the finite, finite mind, intellect, etc. But the second part comes to our aid to save us. Sevan mukhe hijavaro shayameva sporatida. But through seva, connection, then they can become illumined with Krishna conception. Right? And that's not mundane mind, mundane intelligence, mundane ego, but is above in the upper world. Means it's pointing in the direction of the Swarup, which is lying under layers of acquired experience, acquired tendencies, acquired prejudices. It's covered by that. So when it comes to vibrating the holy name of Krishna, they would say, from one, although it's primary and necessity, but if you want to say, for the sake of this conversation and this answer, it's secondary to the serving current. Without that, it's not the primary thing. That's how we'll say. Without that, it's not primary, it's not even secondary, it's nothing substantial, according to Guru Maharaj. And he gives us his reference, besides this verse from Rupa Goswami, Jagadananda Pandit, the Prema Bivart, says, Nam Akar Bahiroi Bhatanamu Kabunoi. Nam Akar, the Akshar, means the syllables of the holy name. It means just saying these syllables. He's saying that doesn't mean that's the holy name. I mean, say, well, isn't it said about Namabhas that even if someone inadvertently, it's saying under certain circumstances it is. It doesn't mean that every time someone inadvertently says something that has these syllables in it, it's necessarily Namabhas. May not be. Most of the time may not be. But there are instances where it is. Otherwise, we have this paradox that all of these people who are utterly ignorant about Krishna consciousness, they inadvertently say this combination of syllables in some way, and they're liberated, they're going to the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha chariot's waiting for them. And then there are these aspiring servitors, they're trying, they're chanting, till they're blue in the face, so to speak, except they don't become blue in the face. and so they're having this problem with nam aparada. Then this would be an argument. Then it would be better to be utterly ignorant, not know anything, and just inadvertently vibrate these syllables. And then you get beyond liberation, you're in the spiritual world for that. That's not what's being said. Even with regard to Ajamil, Guru Maharaj is saying, so at this point, it brought about some divine remembrance of him, of his childhood, and when he was he recalled that time, initially taking the name of his son when he's dying. It brought about this remembrance of that within him. And Guru Maharaj said, still, that gets you to the doorway. Still, other side is the world of what? Seva mayoyam loka, service. There's no point in entering the spiritual world as a tourist if one doesn't have any, to have a glimpse of what is divine, if there's no intention of serving. So again, Guru Maharaj will say, a passport is insufficient. You need a visa. And even in this world, that is the case, right? And what it's already understood that the applicant is expressing their interest to enter that plane. That's a given. Because some people say, well, what do I need? Why do I need to be initiated? You know, I've already got the holy name, which is everything. You know, I got it at the gift shop or on Amazon.com, you know, with my beads, and they gave me a little, an MP3. Why do I need to get initiated? And we're saying, because the visa grantors, the agents of that plane, they have to determine, just like here in this world, they determine that it's in the interest of the country that you're seeking admission to give you approval of visa. It's in the interest of the country to bring you in. So it means it's in the interest of the spiritual world, which is comprised out of not only consciousness, but consciousness enriched with dedicating tendency. And to the degree of dedication qualifies the plane of admission, whether it's Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakund, banks, you know, Tata, waters. Right? It's all comprised out of a self-giving, atma samarpanam, dedicating tendency. So if someone says, what is the benefit of taking the name without a serving attitude? Then we will say, not much. I mean, the accumulation of sukriti, you can say, hopefully. It may be, what do you say, karma kanda, or even, you know, what is undesirable. Just as Guru Maharaj said, when he came to Gaudiya Math and he heard from Professor Sanyal in one of his talks, because he was like leading devotee, authoring books for on behalf of Saraswati Thakur, so many things. And he said, if I go to read the Bhagavatam under the order of the Vaishnava, it may be devotion. If I go on my own, it may be karma kanda, it may be the karma, even. Right? So just in and of itself, we're saying, well, no, the name of Krishna is mentioned so many times, and you're talking about the pastimes of Krishna. If it were just literally those things, then what would be the objection about Prakriti Sahajism? Then one can say, it's what's there in the book. Right? These are the stories, this is what is described. The name of Krishna is being vibrated so many times, and other divine servitors, how can that not be something good? Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, who's the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, the Sambandha Gyan Acharya, he says, Avaishnava mukod girnam putam harikatam ritam, sravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chistam yatapayo. And this is Sanatana Goswami speaking. He's saying, don't hear from someone who is what? A Vaishnava. It's interesting that he didn't use another word like, you know, like a non-spirit, a materialist. He didn't say that. He said, who's a Vaishnav? And just like a Prakrita means looks like Prakrita, but is not. Appears to be Vaishnav, is not. Means what is the backing? Is there genuine backing? Which means, is it a divine transaction? It has backing from the highest region of the upper world, descending into this plane through that agent, as Guru Maharaj said, the infinite making himself known to the finite. Is that what's going on? That's what Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam means. Does it have real, genuine spiritual color to it. What does that mean? That means in Guru Maharaj's ontological method, descending sound, not ascending, not trying to go upward. When Srila Saraswati Thakur finished the Braja Mandal Parikrama, I mean, he slapped his palm to his forehead and said, I'm so unfortunate. I'm in Vrindavan. Right? Just completed the Braja Mandal Parikrama. I'm so unfortunate, I couldn't find a single Vaishnav. Srila Guru Maharaj mentioned, these are not light things, and neither are they to be imitated. It becomes mockery and ludicrous. But nonetheless, this is our guru, right, of everyone. And he did these things, so we can't ignore them. If it was somebody else, we'd say, it's inexplicable. But this is our guru. Of all of our gurus, he's the guru. And his guru is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishorenas Bhavichorenas, like that. It's everything for us. So it's very meaningful. That person, he made this remark. And Guru Maharaj is very honest, showing you have to be candid and honest if you want to make genuine progress and not just a show. And so Guru Maharaj said, this was really troubling and difficult to accept, right? But he cannot ignore who's saying it. If someone else said it, it would have been dismissed as some sort of a ludicrous statement. But it was not just anyone. It was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right? So, and the devotees, they're all, their mouths have, open, right? Jaw dropped. And they're thinking, not to just mention anybody, let us mention who's revered as the Siddha Mahatma, the highest person in Vrindavan, let's offer up his name. What about so-and-so? That's who they name, not just anybody, but who's supposed to be the number one Vaishnava in all of Vrindavan. What about him? And Sarah's like, him? Ah, he's a Kanishtadikari, an infant class Vaishnava. Now they're even more perplexed, right? But Guru Maharaj, he has to resolve these things as a follower of Saraswati Thakur. He can't just let it go and let it be, well, who can explain it? He's not that kind of person. He needs to adjust himself to the point where he can see the way Saraswati Thakur is seeing things. That's also the task of the disciple, as I've told, when that one devotee upon arriving in Navadvip asked Guru Maharaj, now that I'm here, what should be my service? And they're saying, oh, maybe he'll, do cow seva, or he'll clean the Nath Mandir or the Tulsi Mandir or or help out in some way. And Guru Maharaj said, your service? To acquire the proper angle of vision. And everyone was a little surprised. It doesn't mean not to do the other things. That's a given, that you will help in any way possible do the different services that need to be done. But he said, really, to acquire the proper angle of vision, right? Agyana timarandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Again, removing the cataracts of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency. What does proper vision mean? To come under the influence of the vision of Sri Guru. That sort of vision. Not that independently you're a very spiritual person and you're going to see things very spiritually. No, it means to, in a sense, transfer one's autonomy to an agent who's offering you what in exchange? To go move from finite perspective, whatever your finite was, to infinite perspective. That's an inconceivable thing, but really that's what it is. And we're hanging on to that finite perspective that we're so attached to and proud of and riveted to. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one place, all these prejudices we've acquired without thinking, but when it's time to let go of them, we have to think about it. It's very critical. I'll get back to you on that. Right? We're not ready to let go. But we acquired them without thinking. Right? So acquire the proper angle of vision. What did I say before that? Oh, so Guru Maharaj, he had the opportunity to observe that person that Saraswati, everyone thought was the highest person in Vrindavan. He's, you know, chanting a lakh of Krishna Nam every day, reading the works of Rupa Sanatan. If when he hears the name of Krishna, he starts, his body's trembling, he's foaming at the mouth, he appears to be exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. They have a man standing on the right and left, one man wiping away this way, the other man wiping away that way. And Guru Maharaj is observing him. And some of the observations he had, one was, he said, while there, they brought news to him that another Babaji had just celebrated his 50th year in Vrindavan. So that they consider, you know, quite an achievement. He says, but rather than offering some praise, or like saying, oh, that's very nice, he's very exalted. He said, yes, but he was a Grihastha before. So he's throwing some shade on him. Like, he was a Grihastha. I've been lifelong brahmachari. So Guru Maharaj saw, Rupa Goswami says, if some bhavankur, there's a science to all this. It's not just he said, she said kind of thing, or Gaudiya Math says this and they say that. No, there's a science. Rupa Goswami says, the bhav and bhava bhakti, one of the symptoms, man shunyata. The absence of this kind of ego, it shouldn't be there. So Guru Maharaj, check. Then what else? He says that this so-called exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, as we told the other day, when with Pundarik Vidyaniti, 9 hours in a death-like state. Similarly, Mahaprabhu, after Jagannath Darshan, 9 hours. And then going from internal plane to half internal, half external. That's why sometimes when the devotees talk to him, he's still, he has a, it's, there's a vanishing vision of what he saw, then external. And here, external doesn't mean external consciousness in a conventional sense, just means some awareness. We're told during the day, Mahaprabhu, by being around his devotees, that kept him calm to a certain degree. But at night, the divine madness could not be checked. But anyway, so when he would be in one of these divine trances, take 9 hours to come out of that. And Guru Maharaj said, listen, he's showing these ecstatic symptoms, and then 5 minutes later, engaged in ordinary talk about this, that, or the other thing, then showing divine, like some sort of a show. And Guru Maharaj said, I would look at him, observe him, and then in my mind's eye, look at my Guru Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur, you know, infant class Vaishnava, Kanishta Adhikari. I couldn't find a single Vaishnava in Vrindavan. Then I would look back at him and look back at my Guru Maharaj. And he said, then I came to this conclusion that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, this gentleman, he said, by his practices, he's trying to ascend toward that plane. He said, whereas Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, they descended from the plane he's trying to achieve into this world to distribute something. Again, that's Guru Maharaj saying, descending, what's descending from that plane? Does it have that quality and that characteristic, that sort of backing? So when someone who's descended from that plane, he's not impressed by how many rounds you can chant, or how many slokas you can quote, or how many books you've read. Right? Someone who's descended from Goloka Vrindavan. So when he says, ah, I'm so unfortunate, I couldn't find a single Vaishnav, means of a particular quality. And after all, that is what we are interested in, is a particular quality. When Sarvabhauma realizes his error, former position, and after Mahaprabhu converts him and upgrades him to his Gaur, you know, Gaur Krishna, Now he's seeing Ramananda Roy in a different light. Before he said, I mocked him. Yeah, he's a devotee of Vaishnava. You know, those people. They're not very philosophical. They sing songs, dance. Simple people. They don't grasp Vedanta. Right now, some of them are saying, actually, now I understand Ramananda Roy. He's a Raga Marg devotee of the highest order. And he's the person, really, who's qualified to interact with you, not I. And when Mahaprabhu, Ramananda, has his talks with Ramananda, what does he say? And he says in other places, too. There's Ek Ramananda. Later when he tells Pradyumna Misra to, Krishna Katha Ami Jani Na. I don't know any Krishna Katha. Says the same thing to Ramananda, but Ramananda knows. And this is not incidental. He's saying, there's Ek Ramananda. Even his form, Aprakrita Deho, he only appears to have a body like everyone else, but actually he's 100%. When I say the body is the biological expression of the soul's delusion, not in the case of Ramananda. Even his form in this world is 100% spiritual, doesn't have a trace amount of male gaze or exploiting tendency. And so Mahaprabhu sends Pradyumna Misra to him, says the same thing to Ramananda. I'm hearing from you, there's only one like you. And when he reveals himself, Rasaraj, Mahabhav, Duyek Rup, saying, I'm revealing this to. And we can understand that means this line also. When they say only this person, then it means those who are faithful to them and their line of vision. And it's not an accident that Srila Guru Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur's name originally was Ramendra Chandra Bhattacharya. When he got initiation, became Ramendra Sundar. And later, he did Seva and Godavari. And Ban Maharaj says there, he said that Guru Maharaj gave the greatest lecture of all time that's ever been heard. That was his opinion of this one talk of Guru Maharaj. And Saraswati Thakur noting, and Guru Maharaj later expressing himself, that Ramananda Sambhad, that's the key to his ontological method and understanding and expressing everything. And when I asked Gurudev, I said, does Guru Maharaj ever read anything? Because he is like legally blind, actually. So Gurudev would read to him, like the paper or something like that. And he said, no. Like all of this was from long before. And then he went, oh, well, one thing. He said, every now and then, he has me read Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, but the same thing, Ramananda Sambhad. He goes over that from time to time. He wants to hear that again. Right. So why did I say that? Because Saraswati Thakur changed his name again to Ramananda Das. And he mentioned that toward the end of the Premadama Deva Stotram. So Mahaprabhu was saying, there's Ek Ramananda, there aren't two. Means there's no substitute from hearing from this type of person if you're interested in this type of substance. Right? It can only come in connection with someone of this quality, of whom there is one. Right? Sanatana Goswami is saying, put Harikatha Amritam. But Harikatha is nectarine substance. And we're in the Gopi Gita, Tavakatha Amritam, Tapta Jivanam, Kavibir Yiditam, Kalmashavaham. Sravana Mangalam Srimadatanam Bhuvi Granantite Bhuri Dajanam. This is the shortage in the world. Saraswati Thakur said is Krishna Katha. And here's someone doing Krishna Katha, and Sanatana Goswami saying not to hear from them. Sarpo Chistam Yatapayo. Because it's not just literally what's being expressed. It's not the transformation of information. It's not a data transfer. But their intent, their intention is poisoning these things. So it's very critical. What are we told again by Rupa Goswami? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. No layers of jnana or karma. That cannot be the interest. Then it's something else. Right? At best, jnana misra bhakti, karma misra bhakti. It's not pure devotion. Right? The Bhagavatam in the beginning says this book will only be about pure devotion. Dharma prajita koita bhota paramo nirmat saranam satam. And nirmat sarja, non-envious of the devotee. If some, you have to be willing to approach the devotee and receive the holy name of Krishna from them. That's Krishna's desire. Right? Was Rupa Goswami in his sloka collection? Was that verse? Akrishti kritachetasam samanasam uchchatanam changasam atchanjala amoka loka sulabha basha mukti sriya. No diksham nacha satkriyam purushcharjam managikshate mantroryam rasana spragyeva palati Sri Krishna namatmaka. What is required? Because some say, well, it says here, no diksha, no satkriya, no prerequisites for this. Yes, but that Krishna wants to express himself. And what is Krishna's favorite medium for expression is through his devotees. Without the agency of the devotee, we don't get Krishna proper. Right? And what to speak of the supreme devotee? Krishna Moyi, Srimati Radharani. No one is more Krishna conscious or full of Krishna or Krishna, capable of giving Krishna, than her. Hare Krishna. So, Sevan Mukata. Like, here in this room right now, there's a light on Giriraj. There are lights here for the cameras. They're different. The same apparatus. Without the electrical current, darkness. This is the point. Same exact stuff. Exactly. And no illumination. Why? You say, no, but I mean, it's still called a light, right? What is these lights called again? They're LED, they have a name. Kinoflow. Right? It's still a kino flow. But without the electric current, there's no illumination. So what we're being told is, without the seva, not only is it in the secondary position, it's a shell. The real thing is not there. That's what we're told. Read and search for Sri Krishna. Prabhupada says, firing blank mantras. And we remember, anyone who's ever been to a track event, you know, when they're about to start the race, they have a pistol, and they go, poof! And it sounds just like a gun shooting a bullet, except what? They're called blanks. There's no bullet. That's what Guru Maharaj said. So just making these sounds without a service connection, and that is achieved through the Vaishnava agent, right. The agent of service, they have that in the world. Who is the agent of service? The Vaishnava is the agent of service and service to Vaishnava, Guru and Vaishnava, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava, makes all of these activities meaningful and substantial. And then there's the possibility of illumination. Or divine illumination. And what is that? It's not just like a visual experience. Means in the plane of service. It's again, it's not imagination. The form of the name of Krishna is not imagination, neither is the form, qualities, or pastimes. Netihasana kalpanam, Saraswati Thakur says, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, They're not historical occurrences. And they go, what? You mean they didn't really happen? He's saying, no, not in that way. It means not. It's not an occurrence the way something, an observable event, a scientifically observable event. Neti hasana kalpanam. And neither is it imagination, but it's real. And that's what we want. We want the real thing. Hare Krishna. So what was that question again? Just to rephrase.
While serving.
About the holy name being secondary.
Yeah, secondary, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on that point, mm-hmm. what I wanted to say is when Guru Maharaj met with South India with an acharya of Madhva Sampradaya. And in their exchange, that acharya said, I have so much seva, service to do here at the Math. I don't have time for my mantra and my japa. He was lamenting and admitting, I'm not giving as much time to that as I should. And Guru Maharaj said, I supported him. No, you're doing the desirable thing. That service has come to you. And Guru Maharaj would say sometimes too, in a charming way, he said, you don't see pictures of Braja Gopis chanting japa, right? But what do we see pictures of them doing? Like churning butter, their bangles are moving. When they churn the butter, it's like ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. They have their own kirtan going on. They're singing songs about Krishna. They're milking the cows. And they're doing so many other things. But they don't go I have to go chant my rounds now. Right? This nam type counting, and they're also doing it another way. They're gurus, as when he says, it is automatic at that point. And the Ramananda, some very high description, saying, Krishna Nam is like the earrings of Radharani. She's incessantly hearing Krishna Nam. That's everything's chinmoy and made out of chinmoy, the highest type of spiritual substance. But so he's saying, when it's, Krishna mantra hoite habe sangsara mochan, Krishna Nama. Krishna mantra hoite habe sangsara mochan, Krishna nama hoite habe krishnaracharan. The mantra takes one from, liberates one. He said then it's on automatic at that point. And Krishna nama says takes you to the lotus feet of Krishna. That means the sevamoy, the world full of service. Right? Again, not just, you will sit and look at the lotus feet of Krishna and say, how wonderful they are. No, you say, they'll say, do this. There's many things to do. Like Gurudev once said to me, there's this reference, the point in Jiva Dharma, where it's mentioned that that who Prem Das Babaji, when he's in the internal upper world, he turns to the devotee and accompanying him. And from that plane, he gives him some direction here. So it's should he do that, respond? How should he respond to that? Some service in that plane. He's saying, he gives him an order, right? So Gurudev, he once said, but just that one thing he will do. Not the devotees want to always be doing so many things, but he's just telling him, do this one thing. It shows something about the personality of Srila Gurudev. But the devotee, he wants to be serving nonstop, And around that time, this old Vaishnava gentleman, who's favorite to many of the devotees, Nripin Prabhu, who since, left the world, but he used to come from downstairs and every day bring the newspaper and give it to Gurudev. And then give his dandavats and then go back downstairs. And so I said, but Maharaj, what about Nripin Prabhu? And I said, he's doing so many things downstairs. But then once a day, he comes and gives you the paper, then he goes back downstairs. But he has so many other things to do. And Guru Maharaj said, well, then that is okay. So, Guru Maharaj will say, Raghunath, because we can say, well, Raghunath Das Goswami is chanting a lakh, Haridas Thakur 3, and Guru Maharaj said, they are not practitioners. It's not they're trying to chant so many rounds so they can go up, 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 you know, towards that plane. They're Krishna Nam taking, they're serving in the upper world. It's not a passive experience. It's an active experience. He's saying bhajan means direct service in that plane, as epitomized and verified by Sanatana Goswami arguing with his deity. Right? Madan Mohan, about whether, you know, some salt can be on the chapatis or a little ghee, or the, you know, they're having discussions about these things. Now, if someone here was doing, we would dismiss them out of hand, dismiss as bogus, but not in the case of Sanatana Goswami and other great devotees. So that shows he's not doing archan. He's arguing with his deity about what lunch is going to be. That puts him in a different plane. So Guru Maharaj supporting that acharya, saying, no, what is the purpose of the mantram japam of someone in this place, you know, is to get service, entrance into the service domain. You're saying because of, was that a human or, no, okay. All right. Hare Krishna. So, like Yashoda, it's called, I like to make this point because they say like, Vaikuntha means without anxiety. Right? Somebody says, oh, that's the world we want to go to. Yeah. Say, but no, Goloka Vrindavan is filled with anxiety. But that's qualitatively different. Like Yashoda is breastfeeding Krishna. The milk on the stove is boiling over. There's the famous saying, no use crying over spilt milk unless it's in Goloka Vrindavan on Yashoda's stove and it's from that cow named Padma Gandago. Then it's a tragedy to her. There is some point in crying over spilt milk. So she's, you say, how can you push Krishna away from your own breast and now he's crying, right? The Supreme Absolute, you know, all those other things they say about him, and the Vedas, Puranas, and all that. That person, you're pushing him away to go tend to milk that's boiling over on the stove. But it's in service. It's just another way of seeing things. And that happens to be the way of seeing of the divine servitors, the Guru Varga, the Ashraya Vigrahas, of all the different, this is their primary concern, their only concern really, is serving Krishna. So when we sing the Sri Rupa Manjari Pada song, there's one interpretation, they think, oh, you know, say more, say bhajana, pujana, say more mantra japa, say more rata tapa, etc. Saying, oh, so the object of my mantra, my japa, my puja, my will be the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. It sounds like conventional meditation almost. Whereas Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, this line, they're saying, the service of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, of Sri Rupa, that service is my mantra, my japa, my tapa, my vrata. It's everything. Srila Gurudev personified, that's how he served Srila Guru Maharaj. Service to him, that's my mantra, japa, tapa, everything. I don't do that independently and then with the goal of serving his lotus feet. The service to his lotus feet is all of those things and more, and makes them all substantial. When Saraswati Thakur is preaching, and we're talking, there's a devotee nearby going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Saraswati Thakur says, stop making noise. And that man, I mean, it's unbelievable. He said, you're making noise, I'm taking Krishna Nam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So what is what? You're making noise. What is you're doing? Saraswati Thakur's every gesture was song, all speech is cute. Saraswati Thakur is preaching to someone who descended from that plane. And here's someone drowning him out with their noise. Krishna Nam. But that said, like Guru Maharaj, when Mahaprabhu, Srup Damodar, they're all looking for him. That many times they go out in the night. Somehow, even though there's three doors, there's no windows in the Gambhir. There's no windows, but there's three doors, and they all have the, I don't know what is it, Nirgargala, that, what do you call it? The bolt. Is that what it's called? You know, the bar that keeps the door locked. And they have a devotee posted outside. And when they hear Mahaprabhu, if they can hear, he's taking Krishna, they hear different things. Sometimes they hear pitiful wailing and other things, and it's very painful for them, but at least they can understand he's there. But if it's too silent for too long, they get Srup Damodar, who opens the doors, and then they discover Mahaprabhu is gone, which is like impossible. And they have a torch-lit search party. And we're told that one night there's some fishermen, they fish late in the evening. And they have their, and you've seen them, actually, in Jagannath Puri. To this day, we used to watch them. They tie their boats together, and they have some unusual practices. But this nighttime, and this man in his net, Mahaprabhu, we're told he would mistake, like Brahm means illusion. So his illusion is to see a sand dune as Govardhan, mistake the ocean for Jamuna. And he would dive into the Jamuna and be like we're told, you know, waves of an ocean of ecstasy he'd be inundated in, sort of literally, figuratively, literally. And he'd be in this death-like state, being tossed away by the waves for hours and hours. And this fisherman, he catches him in his net. He thinks it's a bunch of fish. He pulls his net in more. It's Mahaprabhu, and his body is, what, by this much elongated, the joints, it's unrecognizable. And by touching the divine body of Mahaprabhu, his whole being is now infused with Krishna Nam, and he thinks that he's gone mad, and he can't stop taking Krishna Nam. So he thinks he's totally crazy. He's walking on the beach. Srup Damodar, they're looking with torches, and they find this man. He's like, Hare Krishna. And he's saying, don't go that way. You know. And Srup Damodar, why? He goes, there's the ghost. You know. And Srup Damodar says, get some idea, and he said, I am an exorcist. Really? Yes. He said, I can help you. Show me. And they take him to, and then they see Mahaprabhu, and the devotees are very, they see this condition he's in, and they brush all the sand off, and gradually his body's coming back together, and he's coming out again of that plane. He's been there for 9 hours, the whole evening, or whatever. Coming out, he's in half internal, half external consciousness, because they all surround him, and they're all going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and gradually he's coming out, and then he describes what he saw. Right? So even Mahaprabhu was saying, in his divine vision, in that plane, he had a glimpse of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he was given some seva to do, and he was so happy there. And he said, the sound of their ornaments, this is how he's expressing. He said, the sound of their ornaments was the most beautiful sound he'd ever heard. That's what he says. He doesn't go into detailed description of it. The sound of the ornaments was the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. And he said, and then you all made some noise and brought me here, and now my beautiful vision is gone. And he's like crying. So Guru Maharaj tells us, what is this noise? It's the Krishna Nam of Srup Damodar and all these eternal associates of Mahaprabhu. You're making noise. You made this noise, kalahal, and brought me out of my sweet dream, broke, and now I'm here, crying, lamenting. And so all of these things I've said up to this point, you can say, oh, they're not very pro-nam. No, not at all. So Guru Maharaj said, an alternate explanation to this is, the power of Krishna Nam is so great that it pulled him out of direct participation in Leela. It was given preference to direct participation in Leela. And now we've come to that Nam of, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, Haridas. It's not something passive, direct service in that plane, in the upper world. And our aspiration really is to serve those who are capable of vibrating Shuddha Nam, real Krishna Nam, and offering ourselves in service to them. And we're told the remuneration for that service, Das Kori Beton Mori Dehu Be Premadan, will be the sort of love and affection they have in their hearts, that will be transferred to our heart. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then that Hridaya Bolite, then the heart infused with that sort of love and affection that comes from seva, that can vibrate the name of Krishna proper. Then Krishna's dancing on the tongue. All those things that Rupa Goswami says are true. Tunde tandavini ritim vitanute tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadambini gatayate karnar budhebya spriham. See, and then one will think, one tongue is insufficient. I need millions of tongues to taste all of this nectar. Two ears are insufficient. I need millions of ears to capture all the nectar. Two eyes are insufficient to appreciate or capture the beauty of Krishna. I need millions of unblinking eyes. So we want to connect to that plane. Then we'll say, then what are we doing? We're following the advice of such Vaishnavas. And they tell us, every day you'll do like this. And we're doing that. But we don't think that our nam take, we don't equate our nam taking with theirs. Any other question?
There was a second part of the question
about
George Harrison.
Oh, right, George Harrison.
Why didn't he take initiation?
I'll say this.
He was devoid of the spiritual progress or not?
In 1976, I was in Bombay and with some devotees, and somehow some recordings were being made, and Gurudas Prabhu, he was his friend, George Harrison was there also, and he thought he'd bring him over to the Bombay temple to hear some of these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Thakur, sung by a Bengali devotee. And George Harrison entered the room. And what I remember is he folded his palms and he looked at the group and he said, Hari Bol Prabhus, like that. So he was very respectful of the devotees. But that said, he also, you know, appreciated other traditions than Krishna consciousness, right? So, but Gurudev said about India in general that they may chant so many mantras and worship so many different gods, goddesses. He said, but if you notice, and we notice many times, when they're taking somebody down to the burning god after they've died, they always chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at last. And we know he expressed appreciation for, I'm just being honest, for things, other traditions. But I think in his heart, he's really a devotee. And when pressed, when his life was threatened, he took Krishna Nam. At the end of his life, he was taking Krishna Nam. But I don't think it's a question of him ever being refused a request to be initiated. That's my own personal opinion. And the service that he did, particularly for Krishna, for Prabhupada and the Krishna consciousness movement, that in his future position, we can say, is auspicious for sure. Because he was instrumental, particularly in the Krishna book, which is so wonderful. He paid for that, the printing of it, and wrote an introduction, which means that many people, when they saw or still see that he wrote that introduction, that means they'll pick up the book and read it. And he gave the Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is one of the most wonderful temples, Krishna conscious temples in the world. And, you know, he was famous for his connection with, you know, Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, and Krishna consciousness. And he didn't shy away from that or try to conceal it. And although he may have expressed appreciation for other things, when time of greatest need, necessity was there, he came up, you know, with Krishna Nam. But we can look at this another way too. So we can think, oh, a person has such good fortune in this world. But think about all those devotees in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement, initiated members and good standing. They have a wealth that exceeds the name, fame of this world. Janmaiswarja Shruti Shri Vedamana, etc. How auspicious is their position? And what sort of wealth do they have? Genuine, substantial. So we can understand from what's in Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere that it's ongoing, and he's making progress in the line, expressed appreciation for the genuine Vaishnavas. You see pictures of him with, at the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami at the Radha Damodar temple, all these wonderful things. Anything else?
Well, the gopis are in the loving parakeya mood for Krishna. What about their husband's mood towards him?
This is not a good transition.
Okay.
Save that for later.
That's true.
But one thing I can say, because on a lighter, is that when at different times remember, Prabhupada would always call Radharani's so-called husband. And so they're saying once that one of the ladies is trying to tell him that Radharani is with Krishna right now. If you go there right now, you will see that she is with Krishna and being unfaithful to you. And when they go there, Krishna takes the form of Ma Kali, and Radharani, she's doing Kali Puja. And that's what he sees. And he's saying, oh, my wife is so devoted. So that we can say. And the time, I remember, we're going to, from Calcutta to Navadvip. And it's Gurudev's driver was legally blind. And not only that, he's wearing glasses that are like foggy, that are, and probably a very old prescription. So he's legally blind, has like glaucoma or cataracts or something. He's wearing these glasses that is impossible to see through. And it's a foggy morning. And we're driving from Calcutta to Navadvip in the fog, and you can't see, you know. And as we're going, then suddenly there's this other car, it's going to be a head-on collision. And just before he swerves off, there was Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj. He went like, Radhe, Radhe. I screamed, Hare Krishna. And Gurudev said, Jai Ma Kali. And the car went, We all screamed. When Gurudev said, Jai Ma Kali, the car went, because he's saying, I'm not bothering Krishna with these things. This is Ma Kali. And of course, as Abhimanyu can testify, Radharani worshipping her as well. So the will of the Vaishnavas. Once the Vaishnavas, when they accept someone, that's their good fortune. When they the Ramayana, Bibhishan, Ravan's brother, switched sides to Ramachandra and Lakshman, but then things weren't going so well, and some of the devotees were thinking, maybe he's a double agent. Because how suddenly, since he came, it seems like things are not going in our favor, and they're trying to have Ramachandra oust him. And this famous verse is in Prapanna Jivanamritam, quoted in Bhagavatam commentaries and many places, where Ramachandra says, you don't understand. Once I accept someone and they surrender to me, that's forever. I never let go of them. I never oust them. I never betray them. So once Prabhupada accepts someone, Gurudev, Guru, like that, that their good fortune, whether it's today, tomorrow, it will be realized in time. That's the fortunate position of the devotee. And we're told so much so that even if, saying if he has to come and drag that servitor by the hair out of a place they shouldn't be. not understand, oh, such a merciful, he'll come and like drag you, pull you out. That's one of the reasons we're told to sika, to tie the sika to the lotus feet of Guru. And then sometimes you're being blown this way and that way by, you know, the world gets to us from time to time. Saying, but if tied to the lotus feet of Guru, then you'll make it through. So what is in someone's heart is most important. We're told, yam yam vapmi smaram bhavam chajatante kalevaram. When that time comes, what's in the heart will come out. That we can say, and his favor, George Harrison, and in the favor of so many others, so many devotees, we see this time comes and they are astonishing. These sincere God brothers, God sisters, how they meet that moment and their lifelong faithfulness and fidelity to Krishna conception comes from the heart. And he's saying, Haribol, Haribol. Gaur Haribol. Hi, Gurudev would say, everyone knows Guru Maharaj is Rupa Goswami's man. Why is he saying, dial nitai, dial nitai? Because Guru Maharaj is the foundation. When we talk about Krishna consciousness, because it is the highest thing, inevitably you say some high things and maybe you made a mistake in misrepresentation or across the, you know, whatever. He said, take the name of Nityananda Prabhu to come back, like, to the strong foundational position. Dial nitai, always praying for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Then so many good things can come.